Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
And fight down a wall! Bring it on! Kane goes for it! Oh, what a goal from Harry Kane! Here's Lucas Moura. Oh, they done it! I cannot believe it! Oh, Stevie Wonder! Stevie Bergwijn! Romero scores for Tottenham Hotspur!
Son goes on and scores quite remarkably.
Hello and welcome to The Last Word on Spurs. We hope you're keeping very, very safe and well. Thank you so much for joining us for yet another transfer window update, such as the bizarre line. We're just talking in the green room just now that Spurs, we are early July and Spurs have made four signings. I think even me and Jay, when we were preparing these transfer weekly updates, I don't think any of us could have imagined the fact that Spurs early July have got four over the line. And in a really good spot now in terms of heading into pre-season. So much excitement around Tottenham at the moment. And we're joined by wonderful, wonderful journalist that's rejoining us on The Last Word on Spurs. We'll have more from him in just a second. But delighted to be joined back alongside me by, listen, Daily Hotspur's very own, Last Word on Spurs' very own transfer guru, Jamie Brown from the Daily Hotspur. Jay, how are you, mate?
I'm very good. And yeah, it's obviously, it's strange to be doing these shows with all these fantastic journalists, you know, not having to worry about, you know, question them and when are these players coming, because obviously they're already through the door. So it's obviously nice to kind of be a bit more relaxed on these shows, knowing that we've got most of our business done already. But I think tonight's show, really looking forward to it. I remember, you know, speaking to Sammy back in January, and again that was a moment where Spurs fans were all a bit worried about what was going to happen. But again, tonight's a bit more relaxed one, so I'm definitely looking forward to it again now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this guy, I think we were absolutely driving insane in January, saying, are we going to get anyone? Are we going to have anyone through the door? Obviously, Spurs leaving it very, very late indeed. We're delighted to be joined by the chief sports football reporter for the Daily Mail. We've got the brilliant Sammy Mockbell joining us. Sammy, lovely to have you back on Last One on Spurs. How are you, my friend?
Very good, very good. Like yourselves, the pressure has eased somewhat on covering Tottenham this summer because of the quickness that the signings are coming through the door. This is kind of unprecedented in the Daniel Levy era, shall we say.
How bizarre is it for you, Sammy, you know, for a club that, you know, normally leaves their business to very, very late, to have four over the line, which, you know, you've highly reported on a lot of those signings. Is it a bit strange for you as well, as a journalist that's covered Tottenham for quite a significant amount of time?
It's you could say it's strange, but it in many ways it's given sort of the media and the press a lot to get their teeth into, particularly the guys that cover Tottenham on a regular basis. You know, for those guys and for all of us that cover the club, we're usually sort of kicking to overdrive that those last couple of weeks when you're frantically trying to get those deals over the line. But you know, things have changed. I think, you know, the success that Antonio Conte had at the end of last season, qualifying for the Champions League, I think it has been a catalyst for that. I think the board and the structure and the hierarchy have identified the fact that they've got a manager there if you back, will bring success. So fair play to them. Fair play to them for doing those deals really early. And I think the key thing to that is getting him through the door for the start of pre-season. It means that Conte, who's big on getting players in the building as soon as possible during the summer transfer window, it gives him more time to mould and to put the team together. And I think that will be key, in my opinion, to seeing Tottenham sort of hitting the ground running at the start of next season.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, Jay, and we've said this a lot, obviously, in the course of the last few weeks, the excitement and thirst and hunger to get pre-season underway. I mean, it's just, at the moment, being a Spurs fan, everybody's smiling, right? There's a real excitement around the football club, and long may that continue. Such as I'm getting so carried away, I've not even done us the intro yet. Well, obviously, welcome to The Last Word on Spurs. You'll listen to the show for the first time, and where have you been for the last 5, 6, 7 years? And you can find us on iTunes, we're on Spotify, or across all major audio platforms. We're, of course, on Twitter at Last Word on Spurs, we're on Facebook and Instagram too, and already for a building audience on YouTube. Thank you so much, as always, for your incredible support. Midweek, no game, plenty of transfer chat. That's why you've got Jamie Browning. That's why you've got the wonderful Sammy Mottbell here from the Daily Mail. And also, of course, having a show lined up like this, we're proud again to be sponsored by the Beavertown Corner Pin. That is the Beavertown bang opposite your South Stand at Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. We have got some content, and I'll keep saying this, we have got some content lined up to come before the start of the season with the guys over at Beavertown. They've got a special at the moment, so if you head over to their website, beavertown.co.uk, and use the code TOP4. And for the Arsenal fans in the chat, we can see you. Yeah, we can hear you as well. That's TOP4, all capitals, all one word. You can bag yourself 15% off all beer on their website for a limited time. Terms and conditions apply. And yeah, let's get into, again, another transfer update. The brilliant Sammy Mottbell. Sam, listen, as we've just been spending about and talking about Tottenham, the fact that Spurs have started their business ever so early, quicker than I think any of us could have imagined, and the fact that Spurs have got over the line Ivan Perisic, Yves Bissouma, Richarlison and Fraser Forster. What have you made so far of Spurs' summer transfer window from maybe an outsider perspective rather than from a journalist perspective?
No, I have to say I've been impressed. I think what Conte's made clear and in terms of the business, it's clear that they're going for proven talent, you know, even down to Fraser Forster, who is a goalkeeper with immense Premier League experience. You know, he's played international football for England. So even down to that you know, the second choice goalkeeper, I think this is a summer where, as we mentioned earlier, Tottenham have kind of changed tact a little bit, and they've gone to do their business early, and you know that is because of the manager, that is because of Antonio Conte having made that such a massive impact at the end of last season. I think now the club can see the merits in backing Antonio Conte. And also, I think, you know, there was, with my sceptical hat on, obviously the little bit of noise that towards the end of last season that Conte would potentially look elsewhere if the hierarchy didn't buy into his vision, i.e. didn't get the players that he wanted through the door over the line. They've done that for him. So, you know, they put all their eggs in Conte's basket, as it were, and it's up to him and the team to deliver now.
You know, I'm intrigued to ask you, Sam, before Jamie comes in there. I mean, like you said, there was a lot of speculation towards the end of the season before Spurs clinched the top four, whether Conte would have stayed as Spurs' head coach. And it feels like, so you're watching the interview of Ivan Perisic joining the club, it seemed that very early on he seemed to know, I think up until the Arsenal game, if he was going to come to Tottenham. I just wonder, you know, as journalists, was you kept very much in the dark about Conte's future up until the announcement?
Yeah, there wasn't that, you know, in terms of official guidance in inverted colours from the club, there wasn't much. I think it was all the end, particularly the end of last season, was very much full steam ahead in terms of just trying to get in the top four, and they didn't want anything to detract off the focus of doing that. But there was this sideshow going on in the background with regards to Conte's future. Listen, whether he would have seriously contemplated walking, I don't know. I'm fairly skeptical. Although I am led to believe that, or I was led to believe at the time that the PSG job, he was a contender for the PSG job at that moment in time. But I think qualifying for the top four, the Champions League, kind of almost made a decision for Antonio Conte. You know, he got what he achieved what he set out to achieve. And, you know, why would you walk away from a club that you've already started to mould in your own identity to you know, why would you walk away from that? And why would you walk away from Champions League football to go into the unknown? So I think ever since that top four place was clinched, I think it was pretty clear that he was going to stay.
Yeah, of course, we obviously saw the very exciting news, I think, towards the end of last season, where Enix said they were putting £150 million into the club. Of course, we've already seen Spurs draw around about £100 million of that. So, you know, real kind of a statement that they were going to go and back him. I think that news really got a lot of Spurs fans obviously quite excited. But it'd be just interesting to get your take on kind of what Conte's intentions are to finish this window for the squad. And maybe also kind of what positions do you think left to target? That'd be interesting to get your take on those two questions.
Yeah. Listen, I think the key thing for Conte is getting his quality through the door. It's not quantity. Listen, Tottenham could end up signing six or seven players by the time this window is done. And that's kind of unheard of in the modern era for Tottenham. But I think that the key thing is, certainly for Conte, is getting quality through the door. I think he wants around 16, 17 players of a similar kind of standard in his squad next season. So when he does rotate, if there is injuries, there isn't necessarily a drop down in personnel in terms of the levels and performance. I think that's what he's instructed the you know, Fabio Paratici and the other transfer specialists within the club to do. He wants that level of quality at the club to accommodate the Champions League football next season. And it's a big ask to have 16, 17 top level players in the squad. Is a big ask, you know, one, keeping them happy because they all can't play. That's a task in itself. And two, just getting that level of player through the door, because that player will know they will probably aren't going to be playing week in, week out. And I think it's the problem that the club has found over the years in trying to find an understudy for Harry Kane. No one has really been prepared to come in and say, yeah, okay, I will accept playing 20 games or just starting 20 games a season and coming off the bench. And it's hard to attract a top level player to do that. And so whether Conte can have his wish of having that many players in his squad, quality players in his squad next season, remains to be seen. But it is a gauge of how the club are trying to operate in the transfer window this summer.
Sammy, lots of love for you in the comments already. Lots of people remembering you from before and obviously have been following you. So I say thanks so much again, guys, for all the support. Don't worry, we'll be covering all the main headlines with Sammy in terms of the transfers. Don't panic, we're going to be covering them. Sam, just out of interest, just want to ask you, you mentioned there from your perspective the fact that, you know, Spurs have always maybe found it quite tricky, difficult to find the right alternative to Harry Kane. I hate using that word backup because, you know, there's no such thing as that in football now. It is about alternatives. And it's interesting because it feels with Tottenham now that, it's again kind of going off a little bit off script, but the signing of Richarlison, Spurs have actually strengthened an area that they're already quite, you know, in depth to. If you think about it, Kulusevski, Kane, Son, they're most likely still going to be Spurs' three primary starters in that forward line. So has it surprised you the fact that the club have put quite a significant amount of money into a player that isn't necessarily going to start every week, but offers Tottenham real quality when, for example, they may have Bayern Munich on a Wednesday and then Chelsea on a Sunday, if you see where I'm coming from? They've really got to, you know, try and find a squad now that can handle multiple competitions, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's such a clever signing, and you know, a lot of people, you know, me included, will look at the price and say 60 million quid for a player who was in a team that was battling relegation last season, and you'd think, wow, that's a big investment. But you know, I think it's such an attractive signing, in my opinion, because you've got a player there who can play wide, you know, who will most likely play wide in the team, but he does give you the added option of, look, I want to rest Kane in the, you know, in the FA Cup this weekend, or in, you know, one, or the League Cup, or in the Champions League, dead rubber one Wednesday or Tuesday night. And he gives you the opportunity of doing that, because Richarlison, as we've seen, is very adept, and he can play through the middle. He can be a centre forward, and he can score goals playing a centre forward, and he's proven in the Premier League. So while it's an expensive outlay, I think Richarlison will definitely get his fair share of games, and I think he'll definitely get his fair share of games playing through the middle as well.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere, and each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
When you arrive during the season, it's not easy.
This is quite the welcome in North London.
It was a big challenge for me.
And it looks like they've pinched all 3 points.
This type of situation make me a bit angry.
Surely not another twist.
I was a bit scared before the game.
Oh, and it's in! It's Harry Kane with the header! Look what it means to the new head coach.
We needed to work very hard.
Steven Bergwijn! I don't believe it! They were going home with nothing. They leave with everything. Yes!
It was the tough period.
Oh, and he's curled it into the top corner. He's done it again!
Important 3 points for us.
And Lucas Moura! The fight for Champions League football is going to go right to the wire.
At the end of the season, 1 point instead of 0 point can change your life.
Did you believe top four was possible?
Yes.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Let's discuss a transfer that feels like it's been confirmed more times than any other in the club's history, especially this summer. And that's Middlesbrough wing-back Jed Spence. Now, I think it's fair to say that a greener fee for this seems to be the biggest stumbling block. And despite reports earlier today, we saw from, I think it was the Telegraph, that appeared to suggest that Spurs had agreed a deal. Again, they've been shot down by quite a number of multiple reports that say deal is still not done. And can you let us know, Sammy, from your perspective, from the Mail's perspective, what appears to be holding this deal up? Is it simply based on the initial fee? Is it add-ons? Can you give us some more intel on this one?
Yeah, no, I think it's the fee. I think the fee, I don't think Tottenham are prepared to match the fee, which I think is towards a £20 million mark that Middlesbrough want. And I think both parties, in terms of, I think Jed Spence would sign for Tottenham. I don't think that's under any kind of doubt. But there is at a moment an impasse, and there is no from what I understand, there isn't an agreement in place. between the two clubs, which is the most important thing in any deal at the end of the day. It's agreeing a transfer fee. He hasn't had any sort of visits to the training ground from what I'm led to believe. And as of today, I don't think that deal is necessarily close to being completed. You know, it's always, I think you can put it in the close bracket because we all know that those talks are ongoing, and all it takes is, you know, one breakthrough and all the dominoes can kind of fall and everything can be in place and the deal's done within the matter of minutes. But he's obviously a priority signing for Conte. He's one that we knew that he was after, or the club was after very, very early in the window. And there was a little bit of concern at one point, I'm led to believe, that he was perhaps leaning towards staying with Nottingham Forest. But they were keen because I could see the merits in the way he was thinking, because he would definitely be guaranteed starts at Nottingham Forest. He would definitely play there week in, week out, where I think if you're coming to Tottenham, the step up in class is so high that you're kind of going into the unknown a little bit. Listen, I know he's a confident lad and he will back his ability to become a player at Tottenham, to become an important player at Tottenham. But, you know, there was a comfort, I think, at Nottingham Forest where he knew he'd be playing every week. But yeah. I think he has now sort of picked Tottenham as his preferred destination, and it's now between the Middlesbrough and Tottenham to strike a deal. But as it stands, I'm led to believe that agreement isn't in place quite yet.
I know Jason there. Obviously, Jason's one of our own on Last One Spurs. Ricky looks so confused. I am really confused, and I'm going to bring Jay in as well in a second, because I'm sure Jay's got questions as well about this. The thing for me, Sam, that I can't understand is that by now, Spurs, if he is, like you said there, and I believe you, he is a priority signing. The club are going on pre-season tour towards the end of the week. Spurs must know what that price is in order to obviously break through on those negotiations. Mm. And it just feels like, again, with Tottenham, and I might be wrong, it feels like, again, it must be around a couple of million difference now that we're looking at. I mean, do you think it's just based on the fact that Spurs hold that valuation because he's a championship player and he's unproven in the Premier League, and that is a big step up under Conte? And I've said to the boys, I mean, my reservations have been, when I've watched him, he has come across slightly raw when I've seen him. And it does, for me, need to be a degree of coaching there to get him up to a level where he's going to be able to sustain playing ability in the Champions League, high-level Premier League. Do you think, Sammy, Spurs are just a little bit apprehensive about paying out quite a substantial fee for a player that is yet to prove himself in the Premier League?
Yeah, I think that might be part. I think that's probably part of it. But I think it's pretty clear that they want the player. Tottenham want the player. I think they've decided that despite those concerns that he is. For all intents and purposes, at the moment, the championship player, because we don't know if he's going to cut the mustard in the Premier League just yet. But I think they must seem pretty confident that he's got all the raw materials to do so. But I just think sometimes when you're at a club, you've got the valuation for a player, and you've just got to draw the line. If you don't think X player or said player is worth X amount, then I think sometimes you can't cave and you know. Daniel Levy's kind of the master at that, and I'd imagine Daniel Levy will be prepared to go down to the very last day of the transfer window to complete this deal, because I think it's a bit of a poker game now between the two clubs. You know, I think Steve Gibson is just as hard-lined a negotiator as Daniel Levy is, and neither of them are going to want to sort of back down. So it'll be interesting to see how the issues attached to the deal are resolved. But what's for sure is I think that Tottenham want the player, and more importantly, Tottenham want or need another right wing back through the door before the window closes. And he seems to be, or he is, the priority option moving forward. So it's just how much Tottenham are willing to go over their valuation for the player, which I think to get him they're probably going to have to do.
Do you think there's any chance they might try to accelerate it before they go on tour on Saturday? Because of course, as we mentioned, this is obviously seemingly quite an area of high priority in getting that player through the door. So do you think there's any chance that we could see maybe Spurs just saying, okay, we're going to, maybe caving in and saying we desperately want him on the plane?
I'd be surprised if it would accelerate that quickly from the views I was getting from inside the club today. I was sort of being led to believe that it wasn't close at all, and they're still quite away from coming to an agreement. And even when an initial kind of fee is agreed, you've got all the bits around the side to sort out. And so I think doing it in 24 to 48 hours might be. I don't know how long they're on their pre-season tour for. He could conceivably fly out and meet them if a deal is done early next week. But to get it done before Saturday, I think would probably be a tough ask.
Do you also think with Spence is a case that Spurs are going for that player because he's homegrown, or do you think that maybe there are alternatives and they might go for a different player? With the case with Spence, is it because he's homegrown that's why they really want to go for him?
Yeah, I think it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? Because the homegrown issue is something that Conte's obviously in the club are aware of, ensuring that they fall in line with the Premier League guidelines. Yeah. I think that's also probably part of the problem of the valuation. Homegrown players have got a premium put on them because of that very fact that they help satisfy the Premier League's quota. And clubs aren't stupid. They will put an extra 5 million on said player because they help the buying club fit into that criteria. But I certainly think that's one of the attractions with Jed Spence for sure. Not just the fact that he has bags of potential and he looks like he's going to be a fantastic player. I also think it helps the club fit those rules.
Yeah. Another player, obviously, Spurs do look like they're trying to actively go for at the moment is Clement Longley from Barcelona, of course, a left-sided central defender. Is that a deal that you're kind of expecting to go through? And in terms of, do you know what his role in the squad's going to be? Because I know a lot of people kind of saying, even the comment on screen here, they're saying maybe will he be brought in as a backup to Eric Dier or a central centre-back? Or is he going to be brought in to genuinely be that left-sided central defender that Conte clearly wanted to bring in? What's your understanding of what his role might be in the squad?
That will be very interesting. It's a very good question. And I can't sort of sit here and tell you I've got a categorical answer to it. But listen, Bastoni was the one Conte wanted, and he's the one that he was the first choice, his first choice central defensive target. That deal looks like it's going to be a difficult one to do this summer. It doesn't sound like that's going to be possible. So they're going to have to look at alternatives. Lenglet is certainly a player on the club's radar, but I don't think he's up to. He's necessarily up to, he could sign for the club and he could be amazing, but I'm not sure he's up to the kind of level that Conte originally wanted. Because he was looking, I've seen quite a bit of Bastoni and he looks like an excellent player. Mm-hmm. It's whether or not Tottenham can feel that they can get one that's maybe lower down their target list, like a Pau Torres. I know they've been interested in, or Garvidal is another one that I know for a fact that they've got an interest in. But centre halves are hard to come by, and clubs don't want to let them go. And when you do, you've got to pay big dough, and having forked out 60 million for Richarlison. I think Tottenham have to be maybe a bit more economical in the market moving forward, shall we say.
If this Lenglet deal was to happen, do you know of any buy option that Spurs might have in it? Because I think that's been coming out of the Spanish press a lot about buy options, and then obviously percentage of the wages that we're going to pay. Do you kind of understand anything about a buy option with that deal?
Yeah, it'd be a loan, and I'd be very surprised if there wasn't some sort of or they haven't discussed a buy option because as ever with these loan deals, certainly with the big clubs, if a player was to come in and be a success, and then for them to be ripped out of your team and go back to his parent club without the option, it doesn't look like it's very good business. So to have that fallback option for clubs to say, yeah, we can sign the player for X amount at the end of the season, is always a nice little sweetener that clubs will look to insert for sure.
Fantastic. I think one deal that looks like now, from our perspective, Sammy, it's coming to an imminent conclusion, although it's been dragging on for such a considerable amount of time, and that is of Steven Bergwijn to Ajax. It looks like, from what we can understand today and what we've seen pictures-wise, Bergwijn has underwent his medical and will complete a move which we understand is going to be worth around €32.5 million, converted to £27.8 million GBP. It's understood that fee, I say, will rise to that €32.5 million figure with add-ons, which in turn will see Spurs recoup that £27 million that they actually paid out to PSV back in January of 2020. What I'm interested to know from you is that, considering he's got a lack of regular match time at Tottenham, they've managed to get themselves quite a nice, sizable fee there. Do you think, based on what they've obtained there, will that allow them to go and spend really big on one specific area? And if so, is that still the left-sided centre-back view, in your opinion?
Yeah, no, I don't think they need another forward, do they? Because of the Richarlison deal, I think they've already got Bergwijn's replacement. So I think that money, and I totally agree with you. I think that's modern day recruitment is more selling players, and how much you get for players is just as important nowadays than the players that you sign and how much. Look, Michael Edwards was at Liverpool before he left, was the master of that. They signed some fantastic players, but Michael Edwards led one of the most unbelievable kind of regimes in terms of selling players and forgetting their maximum worth for a player, and that helped Liverpool massively in reinvesting in their squad. And I think so to get the money that they recouped for Bergwijn is a fantastic bit of business by Tottenham. And I agree with you. I think the Richarlison deal means that they don't need to go out and sign another forward. So I think that money can be reinvested in trying to get a right wing back or trying to sign another centre half.
Okay, that's interesting. So, I mean, the next question we were going to ask about Memphis Depay, because he's been a guy that maybe came up. I think it was only in the Spanish press that his name came up. Potentially, obviously, because we're already in talks with Barcelona. Maybe he was offered. Is that a deal at all that might come into fruition? Memphis Depay to Spurs, or is that maybe a case of Barcelona offering to us because we're in talks along that?
I don't want to, listen. I can't sit here and knock it down, but I just it's not one that's come across my phone. It's not one that I know about. That doesn't mean that it isn't genuine. The links today aren't genuine, but I think Tottenham and Conte have certainly got bigger priorities at the moment in terms of strengthening their squad. As we've already mentioned, left-sided centre back is imperative. A right wing back is absolutely imperative. So I think getting those two deals or players to fill those positions over the line will be the priority. And maybe if there's a little bit of extra money to spend towards the end of the window, and someone like Depay is available, that could be the icing on the cake for Tottenham's window for sure.
Like I say, I mean, at the moment with Tottenham, we've been with such a host amount of players. Again, when we look at the situation with regards to Anthony Gordon, Sam, I mean, there was very, very kind of, very high reports that Spurs were looking to maybe make him part of the Richarlison deal or it being a separate transfer. And we've seen reports today that essentially Everton have no intention of selling the player. Although he's thought to be on Spurs' radar, it also is believed that I think Everton are looking to potentially offer him a new contract. And alongside that, I think Lampard is also vehemently against the proposal of Gordon leaving. Do you think that is the end of it? Or is there still an opportunity? Because we are still only in July. I have to remind ourselves there's still nearly 2 months of the window to go. Any chance Tottenham could look at Gordon's availability again before the end of the window?
I think it'd be hard to get him out of Everton, having particularly given Everton have just had the 60 million from Richarlison. I don't think the need... They obviously needed to balance the books. We know about their sort of their precarious financial position. We know about that. It's well documented. But I think that the money for Richarlison will go a long way to easing those concerns. The interest in Gordon, Anthony Gordon, is absolutely genuine. I think they have had a conversation. I think they did have a conversation, and I think they got very short thrift from. From Everton. I don't think that he's a player that, if at all possible, that they want to sell. Frank Lampard absolutely thinks he's one for the future. Not even one for the future. He's one for their team now. I think he'll play a key role for them next season. And just one point on Gordon. I can't remember what the score was, but Tottenham played Everton at the end of last season and absolutely thumped them. I can't remember what the score was. Yeah, and I remember the game, and I was there, and as well as Tottenham played that night, and as poor as Everton were that night, he was fantastic. I thought he was really, really good that night. I don't know if you guys were there, but I thought Gordon was their best player by a country mile, in a team that were getting absolutely thumped, away from home. And I just wonder if that was the night that Conte saw him and thought, I fancy a bit of him.
I mean, another player that was potentially going to be or certainly was mentioned in talks between Spurs and Everton was Harry Winks. Now, there had been a lot of reports come out that now Everton aren't interested in the player. Frank Lampard's come out, and I think someone was saying he's come out and done his due diligence on the player. And speaking to some Everton fans, they were just saying they didn't want him at all. With Harry Winks now, is there maybe other alternatives for him to go? Because, of course, I remember another club that was linked with him was Leeds. And, of course, they've just signed Tyler Adams from RB Leipzig. So, again, another club that maybe aren't looking for a midfielder anymore. Is there other alternatives to Harry Winks now? And is Everton one that's off the table now for him?
It sounds like Everton is off the table. But I definitely know that there are other Premier League clubs interested in Harry Winks. One certainly being Leicester. I think Leicester have got a keen interest in Harry Winks. I think Brendan Rodgers sees him as he's a Brendan Rodgers type of player, isn't he? He's comfortable on the ball, comfortable in possession, can find a pass. So if the price is right. And the deal is right. I think that deal will have legs and could have legs moving forward for sure. I know Palace have looked at him and obviously Palace are in the mid. I know that they're of a different mould, but Palace are after a midfielder to replace Conor Gallagher, who's gone back on loan, who's gone back to Chelsea. And I think ideally Palace would like to maybe get another loan deal for Gallagher over the line, but as far as I'm aware, Gallagher wants to at the very least give it a crack at Chelsea to see if he can make it. And I know they're two different types of players, Gallagher and Harry Winks, but they are in the market for a number eight type player, Palace, and I know that they've looked at Harry Winks and considered that. So I wouldn't completely rule that out. And I also understand that Southampton have got an interest in Harry Winks as well. So he's certainly got options. But it's one thing having options and one thing actually a club putting the readies on the table, because I think it's going to be 20, 25 million to get Harry Winks, which is, I suppose, a big price given someone who's unlikely to play regularly next season. But equally, if you look at it from Tottenham's point of view, he is an England international and he has played a key role. When he was playing for England, he he was pretty much almost a guaranteed starter at one point. He was starting a lot of games for England under Gareth Southgate, and Tottenham would look at that and try and use that as a sort of a USP as to why he is worth 20 million quid. But I think if Tottenham lower their price a little bit, I think the interest in Winks will be far more concrete, shall we say.
Mm. That Leicester link was quite interesting. I mean, obviously, one player that looks like could leave Leicester this summer is Yuri Tielemans. I think he's got a year left on his contract, and see a number of clubs like Arsenal, and I think even maybe Spurs are looking at him. Is that a player that might come to Spurs, Yuri Tielemans? And if he was to leave, then surely that would be a real sign that maybe Harry Winks would go to Leicester.
Yeah, potentially. You know, I can see Tielemans. I can see Tottenham making a move for Tielemans late in the window, but I think it's not one that they would look to do at the moment. They've definitely got an interest in Tielemans, but all the indications I've had so far this window is that it's a no on Tielemans. But I'm not so sure. I think there is a deal to be done for Tielemans, but it'll be late in the window, and if there is a club that Tielemans would ideally join, I think he would pick Tottenham over Arsenal purely because of the whole Champions League thing. Because I don't know if he's spoken publicly about it, but I'm led to believe privately that that's what he wants to do. He wants to go to a club where he can play Champions League football, and obviously Tottenham would be able to offer him that, and at the moment Arsenal can't.
Okay, that's a nice way to go into a break, isn't it?
Please, all your listeners and viewers, for sure.
Oh, certainly. What a lovely way to go into our first break of the show there. A player picking Spurs over Arsenal, not a bad way at all. Listen, thank you so much again, guys, all your support tonight. We are going to go for our first break of the show for our listeners that are on audio.
Phoenix 51 is a powerful employee technology enabling organisations to make data-driven decisions at every stage of the employee journey, from hiring through benchmarking and development too. The platform provides detailed analytics on the most important asset in your business, your people, enabling organizations not only to make the correct hiring decisions, but also how to benchmark, train, and retain them. Phoenix 51, powering your people decisions through every part of the employee journey.
For our watching audience on YouTube, which is building all the time, there's about 800, 900 of you watching us live. So again, thank you so much for all of your incredible support. Spurs have got, and I know, again, we have to repeat this and believe it, they have got 4 signings over the line, and we're early July, even I couldn't get my words out there, early July, potentially more to come. Sammy's dangling the carrot, the wonderful Sammy Mockbell from the Daily Mail joining us. And of course, Danny Hotspur's very own, Arsenal Spurs' very own, Jamie Brown, transfer guru, giving us, of course, his time as well. Always delighted to have his time. Right, Sammy, let's steer the show back round to you, and we're going to discuss this left-sided centre-back position, which seems to be, oh my God, I mean, we've had so many names linked with this position over the course since the beginning of the summer to where we are now. So just to kind of throw a few out there, which I know are already very well prominent amongst Spurs Twitter, Piero Hinchapi, Ivan Indica, Alessandro Bastoni, you mentioned obviously earlier in the show, Clement Longley, again, that one looks like he's got some legs, Pau Torres, Josko Gvardiol. Do you have a personal feeling maybe taking Longley out of the equation, because that looks like it's going to get done, although it is Tottenham, so we have to wait and see, who else they may edge towards? Because it does have a feeling that Spurs still want another centre-back. Will that be, in your opinion, another left-sided centre-back, or could even Gleeson Bremer be in that equation as well? What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Bremer's definitely got legs. Once Lenglet's over the line, I think that takes the pressure off a little bit. But I still get the impression that Conte wants a centre back that can go straight into the team and will unquestionably go in, you know, strengthen his defence. Whereas in terms of Lenglet, as I think some of your viewers have listened have mentioned, I think he there isn't necessarily that guarantee that he's as good as or better than what is already in the building. So, you know, Bastoni would be his dream to get that deal over the line. As we've already mentioned, we don't think that's necessarily going to be possible. So you're looking at alternatives there. Gvardiol, can they do a deal for him? He's going to be very expensive. And the thing with Gvardiol as well is that there are other clubs who are just as interested, arguably bigger clubs than Tottenham. So that could turn into a little bit of an auction. And I'm not sure that's something that sort of Daniel Levy of Tottenham are going to want to get involved in. But it comes back down to that sort of that old adage of trying to get good centre halves is you know, particularly ones that can adapt to the Premier League and the physicality of the Premier League are hard to come by. Whether Tottenham can get another one over the line, including like plus Lenglet, I don't know. I think it'll be a tough ask, but it's one that's certainly on the club's radar for sure.
Just in terms of potential outgoings with some of the defenders, of course, two wing-backs have been linked with moves away. Emerson Royale and then, of course, Sergio Reguilon on the other side. Of course, with Spurs bringing in Perisic, obviously a left wing-back, Ryan Sessegnon already on that side. Then, of course, Jed Spence hopefully coming in and maybe Matt Doherty there. So, obviously, we're going to maybe need to get rid of some. So, do you think with either of those two in Emerson Royale and Sergio Reguilon, are there any suitors for those two players? And are those two players that maybe you can see leaving this summer?
Reguilon, I checked at the end of last season. I had a little whisper about Reguilon and potentially leaving, and I checked and I got a very affirmative yes. It's a possibility that he could be on his way. I was led to believe that Barcelona have an interest in him, but as we know, well, I think that their financial problems have eased a little bit this week following a cash injection, and they're now able to register players and get players over the line. They have an interest in him, I'm told. Whether he's a priority, I don't know. But I can certainly see Reguilon attracting interest.
They're going for Alonso at the moment. So maybe it'll be a case of if they can't get Alonso.
If they can't get Alonso through the door, then it might be Reguilon, exactly. In terms of Emerson Royale, yes, I think he was... I'm not sure... Conte's been overly impressed, shall we say. I think it's fair to say with Roy. There was some decent...
It's weird though, Sab, because his agent obviously is coming out and suggesting that he's going to stay. Do you think, again, that's just an agent being an agent there? Or do you think
there's always an agenda, isn't there, to agent quotes in during the summer window. It's they've got to look after their clients, and they've got to say, do the right things and say the right things for their clients. And you know, but if I think Emerson Royale has, if they can do a deal at around 20 million for someone like Emerson Royale, I think they would certainly do that. The fact if they can get Jed Spence over the line or get another right wing back over the line, his chances of playing regularly next season are going to be kind of limited. So I can certainly see that they would look at Royale and think that's a possibility. That's a possibility of getting some money through the door for sure.
When you arrive during the season, it's not easy.
This is quite the welcome in North London.
It was a big challenge for me.
And it looks like they've pinched all 3 points.
This type of situation make me a bit angry.
Surely not another twist.
I was a bit scared before the game.
Oh, and it's in! It's Harry Kane with the header! Look what it means to the new head coach.
We needed to work very hard.
Steven Bergwijn! I don't believe it! They were going home with nothing. They leave with everything.
Yes! It was the tough period.
Oh, and he's curled it into the top corner. He's done it again!
Important 3 points for us.
And Lucas Moura! The fight for Champions League football is going to go right to the wire.
At the end of the season, 1 point instead of 0 point can change your life.
Did you believe top four was possible?
Yes.
Out of interest, Sam, because again, there's been a few comments here asking me to ask you this question. Obviously, we know the club, we discussed earlier in the show, Spence obviously is one of their priority signings. Do you think, from that perspective, it will just be Spence as a wing back? There wouldn't be anybody else coming in, because obviously that would then maybe heavily inflate the wing back area. Do you think even if they were letting Royale go, they'll still obviously have on that right hand side, they have Matt Doherty and forgive me, they're also going to have over on the right hand side Spence obviously coming in. wouldn't be any, you think that, does Conte view that as strong enough? Because again, I think my reservation has been Matt Doherty only to really walk the second half of the season did he really stumble into quite a bit of form. Spence, you're looking at that area. Again, young player, unproven in the Premier League, high potential. When you've got that area battling it out for, you know, Champions League football, high Premier League teams, my only worry is that Spurs, from a right-hand side perspective, I think it's quite a weak side. Do you think, from what you've heard, any speculation that that would be what Conte wants as the two players for that area?
Yeah, I can't remember, and you'd have to correct me if I'm wrong. Did Kulusevski play right wing back at all towards the end of last season? No, not really.
No,
I remember finding that there was a lot of talk about him possibly playing in that position.
I do remember actually Conte did actually say that he could potentially play there, didn't he?
So I just wonder if that is an emergency option for him. But I totally get what you're saying, and I'm sure that is something that Conte would be fully aware of. But getting one right wing back over the line has proved very difficult and very elusive so far. So getting another one,
there we are going deadline day. Yeah, 100%. We're going deadline day.
They'll concentrate. They'll do Spence. Get Spence done, and then see what's available. Maybe a little bit later, but I think Spence, as we all know, is the here and now, and the immediate priority for them to try and do.
Yeah, sticking on the Nottingham Forest vibe. Joe Roden has been linked with a potential move to Nottingham Forest, as is Davinson Sanchez. Apparently, there's been murmurs of Monaco sniffing around. Those two central defenders, as far as you're concerned, Sam, anything you've heard that they could both be leaving before the window closes?
Yeah, I've heard a bit. I'll be honest, I haven't heard much about Sanchez, but I think there is domestic interest. In Roden for sure. As you say, I think the Forest have looked at him and he's been, you know, been interested. I from what I hear, I think Conte might be a little bit conflicted, but I think he's a little bit unsure of whether it's the right thing to let Roden go. But I think he looks at Roden and I think he can see a player there. But it's just where, you know, is he good enough? Has he got the time to shape him during a season where they're going to be contesting, hopefully, again, you know, for a top four position, maybe even better, playing in the Champions League and kind of finally trying to win a trophy. You know, there's so many big games next season. And I think Conte, it comes back to having that 16 or 17 players of elite level, you know, does Roden fit into that final kind of six or seven places that are just under that, where, you know, you might nick a game here or there, but does Joe Roden want to do that? Does he, you know, at his age, he spent a couple of seasons now at Tottenham, does he want to go out and actually play regular football? I think he probably will do. And I think a move to a club like Nottingham Forest, where he's likely to play regularly, I can see why that would be appealing for him.
Yeah, I mean, two big names maybe leaving the club this summer. Of course, the first one being Tanguy Ndombele. I mean, it was interesting this week because they came out with some quotes about potentially wanting to stay and you know, being happy at Spurs, and, you know, he can see himself being there still. Is that a player that's going to have any interest? Is that surely going to be someone that Spurs are going to really struggle to get out the door, isn't it, Tanguy Ndombele?
Yeah, potentially. Listen, he's got no. I think we kind of know he's going to have no future under Antonio Conte. I don't think Conte will look at Ndombele and think that he's someone that he can rely on. You know, we know he's a very gifted footballer, and on his day, he's got the potential to be one of the best, sort of most complete centre midfielders in the Premier League. But those days have been sort of really few and far between since he signed. But, you know, that's a double-edged sword. The problem with that is, as you say, they're going to find a difficulty in trying to usher him out, you know, try and find a buy for him, you know, because where was he on loan towards the end of last season? I forget.
Lyon. Lyon was it? Yeah, Lyon. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's back now. It doesn't look like they're interested in taking him on a permanent. So
no,
you're kind of starting again with him, where you know you're trying to drum up interest, and you know for a player who cost so much money, was you know I think it was club record
yep.
time.
Yeah,
you know, you're going to take a massive hit, financial hit on him, and it's a shame because I think there is a player in Ndombele for sure, but for whatever reason, he just hasn't adapted to life in the Premier League and sort of life at Tottenham. I'm not under just under one manager. He's failed under a number of managers now, so it's a tough one for him for sure.
What I'll ask you, Sam, you know, obviously, as Jay referenced earlier, we've got the pre-season tour at the end of the week coming very soon. Would you be surprised if Ndombele and Lo Celso would be on that trip?
Good question. I don't see why they wouldn't be on the trip. I think ostracising players like that, I think they know that they can go. I think Lo Celso will know that he's available, and Ndombele will certainly know he's available. Keeping him at home, I don't know if that's the right move to make. And it also gives any suitors a bit of ammunition to say, look, he didn't even come to you. He didn't even come on your pre-season tour. You know, let us have him for $2 million less than you want. So, for the sake of those problems, you know, I think leaving those two players behind, it could be more trouble than it's worth, really.
Okay, I'm gonna let Jay ask you the Ericsson question. I just want to ask you a quick question, Sammy, just to follow up on that. Only because it might potentially be two loans that we haven't covered off on the script, but Brian Hill and Pape Matassar. Don't know if you know anything about those guys. I mean, there's been rumours as such that essentially they'll allow Pape Matassar to have pre-season, then make a judgment on whether he will stay at the football club or go out on loan to hopefully an English side. And then Brian Hill, a player that we know was on loan last season at Valencia. Conte referenced the fact that, you know, I think in January, and Jay might have to correct me here, I think Conte said that, you know, Spurs need to be a bit more due diligent with their buys because ultimately he looks a talented kid. But to quote one of our own, Richard Cracknell, he needs to get on the Wagyu steaks to bulk up a bit in the gym.
Yeah.
So I just wondered if you know anything about Pape Matassar, Brian Hill. Could they be potentially two loans before the end of this summer window?
Yeah, I think Matassar, I think it would be the wise thing for Conte to have a look at them, the coach to have a look at him moving forward over the summer. But whether he's ready for first team football at Tottenham kind of remains to be seen. I think he's a young player who could benefit for sure going out on loan to a low level Premier League club or a top level Championship club, and you know just get a taste of regular football in England and what it takes to be a success would help him a lot. Brian Gill, it's a tough one because he is obviously a talented footballer, but he's, as you say, he's very slight. And listen, being bulky and being strong, it isn't necessarily a prerequisite for being a success in the Premier League. Yeah. You know, look at someone like, you know, David Silva, who might be one of the best players I've ever seen live. He was a piece of string. He was so technically gifted and he was so clever, and there's ways. Yeah, he made himself a success. He was so good. And Gil was a little bit in that. Listen, Gil's not a David Silva. That's not a beat around the bush. He's not a David Silva. But he's got similar attributes. But I just don't think he's taken to the physicality. And I don't think he's entrenched himself in that kind of football. Whereas someone like Silva, I think he revelled in getting kicked. So you think, you know, he to get kicked and then I'll come back for more. He's to keep coming back for more. I'm not sure Gil's got that same sort of mentality. So I can certainly see I can certainly see Brian Gill and so are going out on loan again for sure.
Okay, just before I hand over to Jay, just guys, any in the watching audience, if you've got anyone that you want to mention at all to Sammy, we might just do a quick summary at the end. Any names you want to throw at us and we'll fill them and give them to Sammy at the end. He can tell us if he knows of any interest from Spurs. So guys in the comments, feel free to do that and I'll pass over to Jay now finally. Jay, over to
you. I mean, one name that did come up this, I think it was this week, was Christian Eriksen. Now, of course, we were linked with him earlier in the start of the window, maybe a player that Conte would reunite with. Of course, the guy he worked with at Inter Milan. He does look like he's going to Manchester United. It does sound like that. We pretty much agreed. Now, this caused a lot of controversy, actually. Of course, you know, Spurs fans really thought that he was the kind of the answer to bring in a number 10 into the squad. Do you think there's any potential that Spurs might look to bring in a number 10? Can you see that at all, that Spurs look to go and bring in? Because I know a lot of people think that, you know, there's been some games last season where Spurs could have done with a creative midfield. I know Ricky, you know, is certainly saying there, he's been definitely pushing that in our group chat about the need for maybe a creative midfielder. Now, I know Conte, throughout his career, he's never really kind of used a creative midfielder before. Obviously, the creativity always usually comes from the wing-backs, but do you think that the case that Spurs might look for a midfielder of that kind of ilk with Christian Eriksen?
I think Conte will always kind of revert to type. He's not one to kind of accommodate those kind of luxury players in his teams. He never really, never really has. And signing a number 10, could they? Maybe at the end of the window, but even then, I'm not sure it will be an absolutely top class number 10, because I'm not sure Conte will want to play with a number 10 in a lot of games. So that kind of means that whoever, if they signed a creative midfielder, would have to spend a large portion of time on the sidelines, or maybe coming on off the bench when they need a goal, which there's always a lot of pressure on. I find on forward players when they've, you know, coming on with 20 minutes to go to try and change a game, and it's not an ideal, you know, sort of not an ideal situation. So never say never, but I think Conte has other priorities for sure.
Okay, so that kind of maybe rules. You know, there's been links to someone like Luis Paqueta, a player that I know looks very promising on the show. We heard that before. But appreciate that, Sam. It's weird, but I think for me personally, I think I've become so obsessed with having that lock picker in a team and having that someone that's kind of does that eye of the needle ball that may be under Conte. I still look at that midfield four for me. Bissouma, Skip, Bentancur, of course, and Højbjerg. And for me, my only worry is when you're going to have a team like Everton come to you, and that's not digging out Everton at all, but Brentford, you know, the lower league teams, and want to break them down. I think it's going to be very hard to do that with those four. So interesting to see if that creativity will come from the wing backs. Obviously, that's key to Conte's playbook. So we'll see. Just Sammy, whilst people throw some names in, you can tell us if you've heard anything at all. James Maddison, anything on James Maddison this summer?
No, I haven't heard that, and I would be very surprised if Tottenham would go, or not Tottenham, but Copperzy. Madison's a good player for sure, but I don't see him as a Conte type player, certainly not a Conte type character.
Yeah. Fine, based on what you said, that kind of makes sense. And Koulibaly apparently is reportedly available for a fee of 30 million.
I think it's an interesting one, Koulibaly. I haven't heard him linked with Tottenham. I have heard whispers about Chelsea, but I've not heard of Tottenham. But I think he would kind of fit the bill for Tottenham for sure. Mm. If they're looking for a centre back, proven that Conte will obviously know, having, you know, spent his time in Italy, who could go into that team and make an immediate difference. There's always a little bit of a gamble when you're signing a player from abroad.
Yep.
I think that's why, you know, why clubs often, Premier League clubs often try and, you know, if they can, sign proven Premier League talent, because they know they can go straight in and do a job. But there's always a little bit of a risk when you sign players from abroad, just in terms of the adaptation period, how long it takes and whether they can actually fully adapt. But Koulibaly is not one that I've heard, but I can certainly see the merits in that move for sure.
Okay, and another one being mentioned, I think probably the final one we're going to ask you is probably Pau Torres, only purely maybe on the basis that Lo Celso was on loan last season at Villarreal. Torres is a player that Spurs seem to have had a long-term interest in. They went for him last summer, reportedly turned Spurs down because of a lack of Champions League football. Can you see that door being reopened again, Sam?
I think so. Yeah, I have heard Torres quite strongly with Tottenham, certainly at the start of the summer, as an alternative to the other centre-halves that we've mentioned. As you say, though, getting Torres out the door at Villarreal would certainly take a lot of money. We take big money, and whether the funds are there to spend that amount of money on someone who is not at the very top of their list, I'm not sure. But yeah, that's not one I would be rushing to rule out though.
Okay. The grilling is nearly over, Sammy. I'm going to hand over to Jamie to let him close the show. Over to you, Jamie.
Yeah, just another name that I wanted to mention was the Argentinian right wing back Molina from Udinese. That's a player that's been very popular on Twitter. I don't know if you've heard anything about him. It's a very
That's the first I've heard of Molina. Right. No, I've not heard. I'd be surprised if there was to be another. As we mentioned with Depay earlier. I'd be surprised if there was another winger coming in right now.
Okay.
I think when you get into the final couple of weeks of the window, all bets are off, off a little bit, because you see what deals are out there and what you can get on the cheap, as it were, and I think Levy is the old master at sort of doing that and getting those sort of deals. But right now, I think they're going to kind of try and stick to the script as much as they can and just get the players or fill the positions that Conte wants filled.
I mean, just to kind of wrap it up, and the final question we had was how many players do you think we might bring in? Of course, as we've mentioned throughout the show, the two obvious positions do seem to be that left-sided centre-back and a right wing-back. And you mentioned as well maybe about the possibility of something else cropping up. How likely do you think that is, that Spurs might see an opportunity to bring in a player of someone who suddenly becomes available? Is that a likelihood that might happen, or will Spurs, as you mentioned, are they going to stick to scripts?
I think there's certainly going to be another two players coming in. I think we know that for sure. A centre half and a right wing back. And listen, if I was a betting man, I'd say yeah, they might do a deal late in the window if the right player came along. I don't think they'd be adverse to that if Conte and the club saw a player become available that they liked and they could get for a good deal. I can certainly see that happening, but for now, I think they just want to get those two players over the line. And I think Conte will be happy with, so that would be six players, right? If they were to get like two players, I think that was the aim. I think that was the aim at the start of summer, to get six players over the line. And they're sort of well on their way to doing that. Yeah. If they can make a breakthrough over the next 24, 48 hours with Jed Spence, that he could join them, as we said, on tour next week. And then, you're looking at getting a centre-half over the line, Lenglet. And that's six players, and then the bulk of your business is done, and you might nick one, might nick a player in the window.
The interesting one as well, because I've seen that Inter Milan, they've not actually sold anyone yet. Of course, Skriniar had been strongly linked to PSG, but that kind of one that's been going on for a very long time. So, do you think any chance at all that maybe they might have to sell Bastoni? I'm probably pushing it a bit.
If there was any kind of opportunity, if there was any kind of sign where the club would think, yeah, we've got a chance here, they will go full pelt for Bastoni if they could do. I think it's just not going to be able to.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen this summer. I think
it was going so well set up into that last line.
I think they're just determined to hold on to him, more importantly, I think Bastoni is happy to stay, and I don't think he's going to agitate to get out. Which kind of it kind of points to him staying for sure.
Sammy, I've got to say, mate, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, my friend. The grilling is over. It's always a pleasure having you on Last Word on Spurs. We've absolutely loved it.
Guys. I've totally enjoyed it. So, listen, have me on any time. It's been a pleasure. So, thank you.
You're a diamond. Sammy, for our watching audience on YouTube, there's been like 800, 900 people watching us plus live. Where can they find all the wonderful content you do, what you provide? Where can they find all your stuff?
Well, I'm on Twitter on at @SammyMockbell_DM. So I'm there, and then you can catch all my stuff on Made Online, which I'm sure everyone knows the address to. So you can catch all my stuff on there.
I can guarantee you, Sam, you probably all the Spurs fans know where you are. Don't worry, they all know where you are. Like I say, it's been a real pleasure having you, Jay. Loved having Sammy on. Great show, right?
No, always great to speak to Sammy. Of course, we had him on in January. It was brilliant then, and nice to have him on now, because as we kept mentioning at the start of the show, it was obviously. The January one was very, we need signings. Today was
different, wasn't it? Yeah, for sure.
Nice and relaxed. We can be a bit more calm about not having the sixth player through the door. So, great to speak to Sammy.
Yeah. Absolutely. Jay, thank you so much for your time, my friend. For the brilliant Sammy Mockbell, from Jemmy Brown, from myself, guys, keep safe, keep well. We'll be back with you very soon. And as always, come on, you Spurs.
Sports Social Podcast Network.